Well, last time I had the opportunity to speak here, if you recall, I spoke about some different tools or different activities that we have available to us in order to fill up our spiritual tanks so as to be able to have the strength to resist Satan and the temptations that he throws at us. And if you recall, within that message, the final grade of fuel that we spoke of was that of fasting. Now, fasting is probably something that you and I don't think a whole lot about or too often about. We certainly know that we are to pray daily. We certainly know that we are to be studying the scripture daily. But what about fasting? Do we spend any time, do we spend a lot of time thinking about that and preparing for that? So today what I thought I would do, both today and the next time I have opportunity to speak, is I want to talk a little bit about fasting. It's not something that we talk a lot about. We have obviously had messages over the years on this, but I want to talk a little bit about it. And for the message today, if you want a title for the message, it is simply Fundamentals of Fasting. Fundamentals of Fasting. And what I want to do today is I want to look at four basic questions. When I finished last time, I had some people talking to me about different aspects of the message, and someone was talking about fasting. So I thought I would take the time to, again, talk a little bit about this very, very important topic. Now, believe it or not, fasting means different things to different people. Some think of fasting in terms of doing without food, but liquids are okay. And they would refer to that as fasting. Some think of fasting as going without your favorite food or your favorite drink for a period of time, hence the concept of Lent. And people refer to that as fasting. Believe it or not, some even think of fasting in terms of going without or denying yourself perhaps a favorite activity, like watching TV. So again, there are many different concepts out there regarding fasting, but what we're interested in, what we'll be talking about today is, but what does the scripture mean when it speaks of fasting? Now, I went out and I was reading a couple of different articles on this, and I came across one article where the author made the following statement, and I quote, "In truth, believers may fast from anything." So this is their concept of fasting. "Doing without something temporarily, such as television or soda, as a way of redirecting our focus from earthly things towards God, can also be considered a spiritual fast." So when the scripture talks about fasting, is it talking about not drinking a soda for a period of time or doing without television for a period of time? Is that what a spiritual fast is all about? Now, I don't mean to belittle the author here, and I understand the intent of what she is saying when she says the purpose is to redirect our minds off of the physical onto the spiritual. And that's a very good point that the author makes. But again, is doing without soda or doing without television or doing without chocolate for a period of time, is that what the scripture is meaning when it speaks of fasting? Now, before I get into what the scripture means, I do want to make another comment based on what the author said, because the author does go on in the article to make a very good and a very valid point, and I want to bring this out as well before we get into the scripture. And that is, she mentions that there are different kinds of fasts. And she puts them into two categories. There is physical fasting and there is spiritual fasting. An example of a physical fast might be that we, for a period of time, go on a juice diet. You know, maybe to cleanse the body, to get rid of toxins, etc. And there's nothing wrong with that. That can be very, very beneficial. Maybe some of us in this room need to do that from time to time. I won't point out anyone, but But so that's a physical fast. That's more for physical benefits. And again, what we want to talk about today is the spiritual fast, which has good benefits for the body, but more is intended to strengthen and make more healthy the spiritual body, not necessarily the physical. So while Scripture does talk about, by the way, taking care of ourselves, you know, and physical fasting can be a way of doing that, maybe going on a juice diet for a period of time or whatever it might be. There are different physical diets and fasts out there. And Scripture does tell us we should be taking care of this body, this physical flesh. Why? Well, Mr. Isaac has spoken about this recently, because this is the temple of God. This is where the Spirit of God dwells. But again, the fasting that I'm going to be talking about today, that I want to talk with you about, is not a physical fast, but rather a spiritual fast. So what I want to do is I want to now address four basic questions on fasting. So the first question, what does fasting mean in the Scripture? If you were to look into the Scripture, could you define what it means to go on a fast? Well, that's the first thing that we want to look at today. And I want to start off by rehearsing for all of us a story that we're all very familiar with, a story of a young Jewish woman by the name of Esther. Because she brings out in her story an aspect of what it means to be fasting. Now, we all know the story. I'll just briefly rehearse it for us. We know that she was being raised by her uncle, Uncle Mordecai, in the province of Shushan, or Susa, as it's also called, of Persia. And through the providence of God, God worked it out to where this young Jewish woman actually married the king of Persia, and becoming then herself queen of Persia. Now, in the court of the king, there was also another man by the name of Haman, and he had it in for the Jews, and he wanted to eradicate and destroy all Jews in the land. And so he came up with this concept and sold it to the king. Now, the king did not know that his new bride was a Jewess. And so he actually ignorantly accepted the plan. And they wrote it into law. And one of the things about the law of the Medes and the Persians is once it's written into law, it cannot be changed. Not even the king could change it. And it was now written into law. And when this was brought to Esther's attention, Esther obviously feared for her own life, but also having compassion for all of her fellow Jews, wanted to be able to do something for them. But the problem here was, because it was already written into law, in order for Esther to approach the king and beg and ask for something to be done to where this could be eradicated or alleviated, she was not permitted. No one was permitted to come before the king unless they were invited. To come before the king uninvited was to mean certain death. So what would this young queen, but this young Jewish girl, do in order to get the king's ear and make her plea? She knew that she was going to have to put her life on the line for her and her people. And so what did she do? She turned to God for help. And in the next message, when we talk about reasons for fasting, we'll see that this is a reason. Esther looked and she recognized the gravity of the situation, and she said, "Only God can help us here. We need to beseech God. We need to seek His help. We need to seek His wisdom. And I personally, Esther, need His strength and courage to be able to go before the king and address this." And so how did she beseech God's help? Well, let's pick up the story. Before I go there, basically what she did is she had servants come to her and she told them to go to Uncle Mordecai, and Mordecai was to tell all the Jews in the land that they were to fast for 3 days, and Esther and her maidens would also fast for 3 days. Now, the question before us that we want to address is, what does that mean? Did they just do without a delicacy for a period of time? Let's notice how the Bible, the scripture, defines this is what it means to fast. So let's turn to Esther chapter 4, and let's begin in verse 15. Esther chapter 4, beginning in verse 15, it says, "Then Esther told them to reply to Mordecai, 'Go gather all the Jews who are present in Shushan and fast for me.'" And here is what it means to fast. "Neither eat nor drink for 3 days, night and day." And it then goes on to say that "I and my maidens will do the same." But what I really want to glean from this is, how does the scripture define a spiritual fast? It is to do without all food and all liquids for a period of time. Not just a favorite food, but all foods. And not just food, but liquids as well. Water, juices, etc., etc. So it's to totally go without. This is what it means to go on a spiritual fast. This is the fast of the scripture. Now, there are other accounts that we can look at that also address this. Let's look at another example, the example of Moses. And let's go to Exodus chapter 34. Exodus chapter 34, we see another example of fasting. And again, how is it defined? Exodus chapter 34. Now, this is where Moses is up on the mount, and he knows he needs to prepare himself for what God is about to do. God is about to give them the law. And Moses wanted to prepare himself to receive the law. So what did he do? He fasted. Let's notice then in verse 28 of Exodus chapter 34 and verse 28. "So he was there," speaking of Moses, "with the Lord 40 days and 40 nights. And notice, he neither ate bread nor drank water." So again, how does the scripture define fasting? It is to go without bread and water. It is to go without food and liquids for a period of time. The New Testament also brings this out. Let's take a look at another example over in Acts. This is the example of the Apostle Paul. The book of Acts, Acts chapter 9. Acts chapter 9. And let's begin in verse 8. Acts chapter 9, verse 8. The story here, of course, is Paul was on his way to Damascus. And it's where he was struck blind by Christ. And Christ says, "Hey, you've been working against me. This is not good." And Paul now comes face to face with his Creator, with his God. And so he finds himself in a situation where he knows he needs to humble himself and to seek the will of his God. Something that he had not been doing inadvertently. He had not been doing throughout his life. So, what do we read in verse 8? It says, "Then Saul arose from the ground." This is after he'd been struck down. "And when he opened his eyes, he saw no one." He was blind. "But they led him by the hand and brought him into Damascus." And then verse 9, "And he was 3 days without sight." And notice, what was he doing? "And neither ate nor drank." So again, we're seeing throughout the scripture, what does it mean when the scripture refers to fasting? It means to go without food and without water for a period of time. This then leads us to the next question. So we know what it means to fast. When we're talking about fasting, it means go without food and go without water. The next question then is, well, for what period of time? So the next question we want to look at is, how long should a fast be? How long should you fast? The examples that we've already looked at, we've looked at three examples. In two of them, it says they fasted 3 days, 3 days and three nights, neither taking food nor water. In the third example, when we look at Moses, it said for 40 days he took neither food nor drink. So how long should our fast be? Scripture defines the method of fasting as being consistent. No food, no water for a period of time. But now the question that's before us is, so what's that period of time? How long is an acceptable fast? Throughout the scripture, you will see many different lengths of time for fasting. We've already seen two different lengths, 3 days, 40 days. For this particular point, I just want to give you a smattering or a kind of a broad overview of some of the different lengths of time for fasting as it's brought out within the scripture. And you'll see that the scripture is replete with people fasting. And we know what that means. No food, no water. And for how long did they do it? Well, that differs from one person to the next, from one situation to the next. So I'm going to give you some scriptures to jot down here. We won't turn to these. But just to make a mental note, if you will, and if you want, you can go back and look at them later. In 2 Samuel 1, verse 12. 2 Samuel 1, verse 12, we read of King David fasting until evening, it says. So he was at some point within the day. So this is less than a 24-hour period, isn't it? And for whatever reason, he decided to fast until evening. So that's one length of time that the scripture brings out. In 2 Samuel 3, verse 35, is another example of King David fasting until the sun went down, similar to the first. We've already looked at Esther 4, verse 16, where we read that Esther and the Jews fasted for 3 days, day and night. We've already looked at Acts 9:9, where we read of Paul, who fasted for 3 days, day and night. 2 Samuel 12, verses 16 through 20, we see another example of King David, who at that point fasted for 7 days. 1 Chronicles 10, verse 12, we read of a group of men who rescued and claimed the body of King Saul and his sons and brought them back to Gilead and buried them, and they then fasted for 7 days. Daniel chapter 10, verses 2 to 3, indicates that Daniel fasted for 3 weeks. We've already looked at this one, Exodus 34, 28, where we read of Moses who fasted for 40 days. 1 Kings 19, verse 8, we read of Elijah also fasting for 40 days. And one final one, by no means is this all of them, but the last one we will look at, Matthew 4, verses 1 and 2, Matthew 4, verses 1 and 2, we read of Jesus himself fasting for 40 days. Now, what's common in all of that? No food, no drink. But the length of time, the duration of the fast, is all over the map. So we see the scripture is replete with the concept of fasting, but what is interesting to note is that the duration of the fast differs from one example to the next. Again, the method is the same, but the amount of time that we devote to fasting can change from time to time, from circumstance to circumstance, ranging anywhere from the scriptures to part of a day to up to 40 days. To my knowledge, that's the longest ever recorded within the scripture. So we see that duration, how long should we fast? Well, the answer to that question is, that's up to you. That's a personal choice that you need to make, that I need to make when we choose to go on a fast. The duration is not set. There is only one duration in all of Scripture that is set in stone. That, of course, is the Day of Atonement, in which we are commanded to fast, to go without food and water, or food and liquids, or liquids, from sunset to sunset, a clear 24-hour length of time. That is the only commanded day of fasting, and it is the only commanded length of a fast. Now, before we leave this particular topic, so we see there's different lengths, different durations. Method is always the same, but different durations, different periods of time. Before I leave this, I do want to make a comment, perhaps a caution, if you will. And I want to talk about the three examples of Jesus Christ, Elijah, and Moses who fasted for 40 days. And even Daniel, who fasted for 3 weeks. I want to give us a caution here because you and I, probably everyone in this room, we can certainly all fast for 1 day. We could probably fast for 3 days. We may even fast for 7 days. I'm not seeing a whole lot of nodding out there. But what about the longer periods of time? Again, the caution that I want to bring you is this. I did a search on the internet and I asked a question because I know there are, in just our, in history, there are examples, for example, of, who was it? Gandhi went 21 days without any food, total starvation, and he lived. So we know we can go without food for an extended period of time, but water is the key, liquids. So I did a search on the internet and I asked the question, how long can a person go without water? And here's the answer that I got. The author of this particular the response, it says, a human can go for more than 3 weeks without food. And then she is quoting Mahatma Gandhi. He survived 21 days of complete starvation, no food. Goes on to say, but water is a different story. At least 60% of the adult body is made up of water, and every living cell in the body needs it to keep functioning. Water acts as a lubricant for our joints, regulates our body's temperature through sweating and respiration, and helps flush waste. The maximum time an individual can go without water seems to be 1 week. An estimate that would certainly be shorter in difficult conditions like boiling heat. So this particular person, in response to my question, how long can the human body go without water, without any kind of liquids? Their response was, it seems to be around about a week. Again, depending on conditions. So if that's the case, then I want to ask the question, well, what about Moses and Elijah and Jesus and Daniel, who went for 3 weeks? Well, obviously in those situations, God was directly involved in sustaining them. The point that I want to bring out, because we do need to take care of these bodies, we need to make sure that we don't do any damage to these bodies. The point that I want to bring out is, even though the scripture gives us the example of these individuals fasting, it is the example of fasting that we want to take note of, not necessarily the duration of time. Again, if you and I were to fast for 40 days and 40 nights without any food or any liquids, without the direct intervention from God, we might find ourselves dead. So again, the duration is not the key element. That's a personal choice that you need to make, that I need to make. But we understand what fasting does mean, and we understand that the scripture is replete with examples of people fasting. And again, like I said, next time we're actually going to look into it and look at the reasons why people were fasting. So again, the duration is not set in stone apart from the Day of Atonement. So it can range anywhere from a partial day, 1 day, 3 days, 7 days. I have to admit, I have not done 7 days. Okay, I definitely have not done 40. Well, that leads us then to the next question. Let's go to the next question. So we've talked about, we know what fasting is. It's to go without food and water. We know that duration, what's the duration? That is a personal choice. That is a choice that you make between you and your God. We're going to talk about why here in just a moment. So now the next question I want to get to is, how often should we fast? How often should we fast? As I just said, there is only one commanded time of fasting in all of Scripture, and that is the Day of Atonement. So does that mean then that we can get away with fasting only once a year? If we fast only once a year on the Day of Atonement, is that acceptable to God? To help answer that question, let's notice what the Apostle Paul tells us in 2 Corinthians chapter 11. The question we're asking is, how often? How often should we be fasting? Let's look at 2 Corinthians chapter 11. And here in chapter 11 of 2 Corinthians, Paul is talking about the different things that he's gone through as part of the sacrifices that you and I, as Christians, we make for Christ. You know, as we've said many, many times, it's not easy for a righteous man to live in an unrighteous world. And there are hardships along the way. Luke chapter 14 tells us, count the cost before you become my disciple, Jesus warns us. Because there is a cross to bear. And so the Apostle Paul is talking about some of these different crosses that he's had to bear, some of these different afflictions that he's had to go through, some of the hard times that have been upon him. And then notice what he says in the middle of verse 27. In the middle of verse 27, well, let's go at the beginning of verse 27, it says, in weariness and toil, in sleeplessness, often. He wearied, he toiled in sleeplessness, often for the church, for the brethren, in prayers and supplications and service. And then notice it goes on to say, in hunger and thirst, going without food and drink, in fastings, often is what the scripture tells us. So according to the Apostle Paul, part of our Christian responsibility, part of our bearing of our cross, is to fast often. And the Apostle Paul sets us that example. We could look at a number of different people, but just since it's Paul that says, in fastings I have done that often, jot down a couple of scriptures in which you read of the Apostle Paul fasting. Acts 9, chapter 9, we've already looked at that one where he fasted for 3 days and three nights. Acts 13, verses 1 through 3, we see another example of Paul fasting. And then Acts 14, verse 23, another example of Paul fasting. So we see that Paul fasted often. Now that's a little frustrating to me, because he simply says often. And you and I, having human nature, we want to know, well, how often is often? You know, tell me how. It would be real easy if the scripture says, a Christian is to undergo 10 fasts a year. Okay, now I've got it set in stone. I know what my duty is. But scripture doesn't tell us that, does it? It doesn't tell us duration, and it doesn't tell us how often. 3, 5, 10 times a year? What? What is often to you? What is often to me? I know that Paul says often, but he, I believe, through the inspiration of God, intentionally doesn't tell us how often. Just as we are not told that your fast has to always be for this duration. Why is that? Well, because it really gets to the heart and core of fasting when we understand what fasting is. Fasting in ancient Israel, let's go back to ancient Israel, they were under a physical covenant. And under that physical covenant, they provided or gave offerings, physical offerings, animal offerings to God. And in so doing, they received physical blessings. You and I are not under that old physical covenant. We are under a spiritual covenant, the new covenant. And we too, like ancient Israel, we have offerings that we give to our God. But our offerings aren't that of animals, of physical. The offerings that you and I have that we give to our God is what? In prayer and in fastings. So the concept of fasting is actually us giving an offering, a free will offering to God. And therefore, God leaves it up to us as to how long will you fast for? How often will you fast? That's all personal choice, isn't it? That's all between you and your God. And that's why no one in the scripture tells you how long or tells you how often. Now, Paul does give us a hint in that it should be often. In your mind and in your heart before your God, you need to define, what does that mean to me? Like so much of Christianity, these choices that we have to make all come down to our willingness, our desire, and our attitude towards fasting. That leads me then to the final question that we want to address today. What should your attitude be when fasting? We've talked about what does it mean to fast. We know that means to go without food and water. We've talked about the duration, the length of time that we should fast. That's personal choice. That's part of your offering. That's part of your sacrifice to God. We've talked about how often. That's personal choice. That's part of your offering, part of your sacrifice to your God. Now let's talk about what should our attitude be when we are fasting. I want to look at 3 points here. Number one, your mindset. Number two, your appearance. And number three, your timing. Mindset, appearance, and timing. All rolled up into what should our attitude be? First, let's look at the mindset. As I've already mentioned, fasting is part of our spiritual sacrifices that we offer to God. So when fasting, let's keep that in mind. Make sure that when we're fasting, we're doing so willingly and with a joyful heart, wanting to please God, wanting to bear that cross, wanting to draw closer to Him. Now, yes, there will be times, yes, there will be circumstances when the pressures of life and the burdens of sickness or trials are upon us and we're driven to our knees in prayer and fasting with a heavy heart. Okay, I get that. I understand that. We've all been there. But what I'm asking all of us to understand is, let's not just fast when circumstances drive us to our knees. Let's also fast in good times, to where that fast can be with a joyful, glad, uplifted heart. And we can praise God. Again, it's part of our sacrifice, part of our offering to our great God. Again, it's something that we should be wanting to do willingly, just as ancient Israel gave free will offerings, some of our fastings should be free will offerings. Hey, I'm not in any dire straits right now. I don't have a heavy heart. I'm not under this burdensome trial. I want to fast today, or I want to fast next week. To thank God, to praise God, to glorify God. So again, free will offerings, that should be part of our attitude. It can't always be, but sometimes it can be. Let's think about that. So our mindset should be one of wanting to offer sacrifices to God. Free will offering, a heart of joy and gladness. What about appearance? You know, oftentimes as you go through, particularly in the Old Testament, you read, look at the examples of people fasting, and what does it say? So many times it says, and they rent their clothes, and they threw dust and ashes on their head. And these were signs of mourning, you know, that the person was grieving. And there are times of fasting when we are grieving. But we've just also talked about that there should be times of fasting where we're rejoicing with a happy heart. So what about this woe is me appearance when we're fasting? Do we come in, we'll walk through the doors and we've got disheveled hair and dust all over our, you know, I'm fasting today, you know. Is that how we should approach fasting? Is that the appearance that we should be giving? So that there's absolutely no doubt when someone walks in that door, oh, that person's fasting. Is that the instruction that we're given? No. Actually, Christ gives us different instruction. And there is set instruction to this. Let's notice in Matthew chapter 6, part of the Sermon on the Mount. And Christ addresses this very question. What should our appearance be like when we are fasting? Matthew 6, and beginning in verse 16, it says, "Moreover, when you fast, do not be like the hypocrites with a sad countenance, for they disfigure their faces that they may appear to men, so that everyone will know they are fasting." Christ says, "Assuredly, I say to you," because what is that attitude? That's an attitude of, oh, look at me. Look how spiritual I am. You know, the Pharisee, oh, I fast twice a week. How often do you fast? What is that? That's seeking the adoration of men. And what does Christ say? I tell you, if that's your attitude, if that's your appearance, you've got your reward. That's it. Don't expect any help from God. You got what you deserve, adoration, glory from men. So he says, don't be like that. So how should we appear when we're fasting? He goes on in verse 17, "But you, when you fast, anoint your head and wash your face, so that you do not appear to men to be fasting, but to your Father who sees in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you." So the point is, we don't make a big show of it. You know, if we're coming to, you know, church or throughout the week or whatever it might be, we just look normal. I'm so weak because I'm fasting. Did you get that? I'm fasting. No, that's not what it's all about. Wrong attitude, wrong mindset. So again, let's take that to heart. Again, this passage does speak to the mindset and the appearance of how we should present ourselves when we are fasting. The point is, we should be giving glory to God, not seeking glory for ourselves. Finally, let's talk about timing. The timing of your fasts, of my fasts. Again and again, when you look at the different examples of individuals fasting, so many times you will see in the scripture, it refers to prayer and fasting. Prayer and fasting, or fasting and prayer. The two go hand in glove. They are conjoined, if you will. It's almost as though fasting supercharges your prayer, and prayer adds greater meaning and emphasis to your fasting. They go hand in hand. So because of that, as far as timing is concerned, again, what I'm saying now, please understand this, is not of the scripture. It is of a principle in the scripture, and we'll look at that in a moment. So what I'm speaking of here is a principle, not a law. I can't say you must do this because the scripture says so, but it does give us a principle, and that is that we should plan for our fasting. That can't always be done. Man, you get hit with a trial and you just fall to your knees, as David has done on many occasions, fasted till the end of the day. Didn't even know he was going to fast. It was an on the spur of the moment thing. That sometimes happens. But we have opportunity to plan ahead. And the point that I'm wanting to make here is, when planning for a fast, remember, we also want to plan to have sufficient time to add to that fasting, that lack of food and water, sufficient amount of time for prayer. And we could even go further and say, and more time, extra time for study. And go further than that and even have more time where we can sit and be quiet and meditate on what it is, if we have a specific reason for fasting, or just fasting to worship God, to draw closer to Him, to understand His will better. But the point that I'm making is, this takes time, doesn't it? Fasting isn't just about going without food and water, let's say for a day. So the point that I want to bring out here, and again, I speak from principle, not law, is a weekday may not be the best time to fast. Why? Because I know when I'm at work, if I'm at work and I'm in the office, my mind is so filled with all that I have to do at work. And I'm not really thinking about, and I don't really have time, at least while I'm at work, for prayer and study and meditation. I'm just go, 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 get it done. Again, does that mean that you should never fast on a weekday, on a day of work? No. Hey, if that's what you've got, that's what you've got. Make the most of it. But what I'm saying is, if we can plan, if we can prepare ahead, maybe a weekday might not be the best day. Maybe it's all you've got. So again, make the best of it. Let's notice the principle. I've been talking about how there is a principle within the scripture. And again, it's not a rule of law, it's a principle. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 7. 1 Corinthians chapter 7. And let's notice verse 5. 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 5, it says, this is speaking of the marriage relationship and not withholding from one another, etc. And I think you know what I mean there. I don't need to go into details. But anyway, it's talking about this, and it says, do not deprive one another, except with consent for a time, that you may give yourself to fasting. The point is, hey, even within the marriage, you know, think ahead, plan to where you can really give yourself to the fast, to where you can really go 100% into it, not have to worry about the things of work. You know what you can even do? You can even take a day off of work and plan that day as a fast. Okay, I'm going to take Wednesday off PTO and I'm going to fast on that day. And I don't have to worry about, you know, business or anything like that. I can really give myself to fasting for a time. Again, it's a principle. Think about it. Plan ahead. Plan for your fast so that you can make the most out of the day. It's not just about going without bread and water. It's not just about being hungry or thirsty. It's about so much more than just that. One other thing that I will give as, and this is just for you to consider, again, I speak of principle, not law. Just for your consideration, I've heard this said before, and I will make the statement as well. But what about the Sabbath? The Sabbath day. Typically, the Sabbath is regarded as a feast day, not a fast day. Now, there are Sabbaths that we fast. We all fast on the feast day of atonement, don't we? That's commanded. So is it wrong for you to fast on the Sabbath? Answer, no. But I am saying you might want to consider choosing a different day and keep your Sabbath as a day of feasting, as a day of rejoicing, as a day of a merry heart. So again, I speak in principle, not law. If you fast on the Sabbath, you fast on it. Wonderful. Certainly you have more time to be able to devote to prayer and study and meditation on that day. But do also remember that Scripture speaks of the Sabbath in terms of a feast day. Again, it all comes down to planning. If you plan ahead, you can meet, you know, the principles of fasting and really make a wonderful day of it. So what have we looked at today? We've looked at, and I think I gave you the title of the message. The title of the message is The Fundamentals. Just some very basic questions. Four basic questions, fundamental questions that we've looked at is, what does Scripture mean when it uses the word fast or fasting? Well, that means to go without food and water for a period of time. We've looked at, well, for how long a period of time? How long should you fast? Personal choice between you and your God. It's your offering. It's your sacrifice, not mine. I have my own to give. We've looked at, well, how often should we do it? Again, personal choice, your offering, your sacrifice. Do it as often as your conscience, your desire, your willingness allows. It should be, and I will make this statement, it should be more than once a year. And then finally we look at, well, what should our attitude be when fasting? And we looked at the mindset, or we looked at the appearance, and we looked at the timing. Just some things for us to consider. And when we consider all of these things, when we consider the fundamentals, hopefully we can approach fasting in a new light. And hopefully we will now take it perhaps a little bit more seriously and put a little bit more forethought into this concept. Now, there's a lot more to be said. So when we come back, whenever it is I get to speak again, next time we'll talk again about fasting. And what we'll do is we'll look into the Scriptures at the purpose. What is the purpose for fasting? And then also look at reasons behind why you and I and why people in the Scriptures certainly did fast. So I hope you all have a happy Sabbath. And now that I've made you all hungry, there's going to be food back and drink there for you to partake of, unless you're fasting.